Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Saturday, and time for an all-new episode of Listen In with KNN. It's been another busy week in the sports world, but this week I'm excited to have a commissioner. Yes, a commissioner join me from a historically black college and university. Yes, shout out to HBCUs as we celebrate the CIAA championship game that's going to take place later this afternoon. That's right, that means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in. Now, as I like to start every show, because I think we all need some good in our lives with some of the negative that's on the news, I'd like to start off with Kelsey's Do Good Sports Athlete of the Week. This week, I'm honoring Nick Stumberg of the Washington Redskins. He is a long snapper for Washington's team, and this week, he launched Loads of Love Laundry Program. It was on Monday with his wife at Magnolia Elementary in Lanham, and the reason why I love this, guess what? This program was created to provide laundry services to students in need. Nick, I think that's a wonderful thing. It's something people forget about. But here you and your wife are taking time out of your busy schedules, and of course, after celebrating the Washington Redskins' win over the Seattle Seahawks, to do something like this, especially in PG County, because of course, though they are the Washington Redskins, the team does play in PG County. So thank you, Nick, for giving back, and congratulations on being this week's Kelsey's Do Good Athlete of the Week. Now, stay tuned as we take a quick commercial break, and we will come right back with today's special guest.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch, and if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when.
Now, before I get into today's special guest, we are going to be talking about the CIAA. Now, if you guys don't know anything about the CIAA, I want to give you a quick history lesson. So, the CIAA, which stands for the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, was founded back in 1912 as the Colored Intercollegiate Athletic Association. And guess what? It's the oldest African-American athletic conference in the nation. Now, membership has changed since 1912 when it started, but it does consist of HBCU schools, banning on the East Coast from Pennsylvania to North Carolina. So let me give a shout out to all the CIAA schools. We've got Bowie State University in the house, Shawan University, Elizabeth City State University, Fayetteville State University, Johnson C. Smith University, Lincoln University of Pennsylvania, Livingstone College, St. Augustine's University, Shaw University, Virginia State University, Virginia Union University, and Winston-Salem State University, who, of course, I interviewed their athletic director earlier this week. Now, the conference is comprised of both private and public colleges and universities, and the enrollments for these schools range from about 750 students to 7,000 students. Wow, that just lets you guys know. And then if that's not enough, we're going to touch on the East Coast a little bit more because currently 80% of CIAA alumni reside in either Maryland, North Carolina, or Virginia. Now, the CIAA is incorporated in D.C., and they're tax-exempt 501c3 organization, but they are headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina, a place I had the pleasure of living back in 2013, a great place. And the CIAA conference is governed by the 12 presidents and chancellors of its member institutions. So just wanted to throw that in there before I introduce our very special guest, just in case you guys didn't know about CIAA and just their history and why they were so important to bring on my show this week as we get ready to celebrate the CIAA football championship game that will be taking place later today. So without further ado, I will get into our guest introduction. I'm very excited to welcome today's guest as we celebrate 125 years of black college football. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome CIAA Commissioner, Ms. Jackie McWilliams, to today's show. How are you, Jackie?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. Thank you for asking.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for coming on. And before I start getting into the interview, I want to give people some of your background, so I'm going to briefly read through some of your great accomplishments.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay, so if you guys don't know, Jackie McWilliams is the third full-time commissioner of the Center Intercollegiate Athletic Association, CIAA. She's also the first African-American female ever to hold the position. So that just tells you Black girl magic all around. She leads all strategic planning of the conference, working closely with the 12-member institutions and the board of directors and staff to support the advancement of student athletes in managing 14 CIAA championships. Ms. McWilliams spent 9 years at the NCAA managing NCAA championships to include serving as director of Division I women's basketball tournament from 2006 to 2009 and the Division I men's basketball tournament from 2007 to 2012. She also has experience in administration, facilities and operations, compliance and governance, human resources, and external operations. She also was a former student athlete at Hampton University, where she was a member of the 1988 NCAA Division II Women's Basketball Championship Team and the 1987 and 1990 CIAA Volleyball Championship Team. So basically, Jackie, you've done it all. I mean, you've been a winning student athlete. And now you're going to win. It's amazing. It's amazing. And before I get into the interview, can you tell us a little bit about, I mean, what made you, you know, want to get into this role? I mean, when you were a little girl, was this your dream to be, you know, the commissioner of the CIAA?
No, I actually wanted to be a child psychologist or sports psychologist. Get my psychology degree. And, you know, after playing sports and my coach at the time, Tiny Laster, he, you know, asked me if I wanted to work in sports. And so he kind of encouraged me to go and get my master's in sports management and shared some of the opportunities that were in athletics. I mean, I saw coaches around me, some women coaches at the institution around me, and never thought of it as being a career opportunity. And so, you know, he exposed career opportunities in athletics. And so I thought I'd go get my master's and explore then. I really thought I'd be working in professional sports. I had an interest in NBA and NFL and, you know, the whole programming, event management side. I love organizing and planning. And that's just not where God had me. So I'm in the right place at the right time.
That is wonderful. And you talked about sports management degree and master's. I luckily got my master's in sports industry management from Georgetown University. And I think it's just such a great degree to have. I mean, everybody I went to school with, they're in college athletics or professional athletics, or even if they're not, that degree, you just learn so much working in sports that you can take anywhere. And I think you're evident of that, with just the different jobs that you've held. I mean, you've done everything from human resources, compliance and governance. So basically, I see why you're commissioner, because you've done everything. So it makes sense that you have all the answers.
Well, I try. I mean, I think, you know, the more experience you can get in, you know, and around wise people to help you grow, great mentors, it really helps. It really has helped me in this position, there's no doubt.
Wonderful. And earlier I talked to Tanya Williams, who I know you went to school with, and we had this great debate. So I have to give Hampton University a little props, because she told me, of course, that Hampton University is the real HU, which I'm sure you agree with.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, sorry to all my DC viewers and Howard, but no, I think it's great. But now I want to get into a little bit to the show. I want to start off with, you're an African-American woman, right? People can see that on the surface. So I want to start off with, do you feel any extra pressure being a commissioner of the CIAA as an African-American woman, since you are the first one to do that?
That's a great question, and I'm going to answer it like this. I came into this job not because I was an African-American woman. I came to do the job because I was prepared and have the skill set to lead this amazing organization. Now, you know, I often say that the isms that I deal with as an African-American woman, they're not my problems. They're people who see it a problem, whether I'm a Black female or a female, period, or in a role of leadership. And so trying to manage those expectations, I stopped. At the end of the day, I'm in my dream job. I have an opportunity to do something that I love to do. And so, you know, when I make it the challenge, I make other people's thoughts and problems my problems. So it's taken a while to get to that point. Kelsey to understand that mm-hmm. I'm in this role because God gave me the opportunity and I was prepared for it. The challenges of being a woman and being a black woman, they are real, but right. I try not to stay on those for long. I might be upset for a moment, but at the end of the day, I have a job to do to protect the integrity and the mission of this conference, and that's what I do every day.
Wonderfully said. And I mean, you talked about the mission of the conference, and that takes me to my next question. So I know as commissioner, you're always planning ahead and planning for the future. So to everyone listening, what would you kind of say, what are kind of the future goal and plans that you have for the CIAA to kind of take it to that next level?
Yeah, so, you know, when I came 5 years ago, you know, the conference was, you know, in a position of transition. And so to really get the board focused and our staff focused on what is the direction and where do we see ourselves going. And,
right.
you know, the first order of business was short-term stability, you know, for long-term progress and stability. And so how do we get our finances in order so that we're able to make sure that we provide these unique experiences for all these great student athletes? And so that has been primary for me since I've been here, is to make sure that we have healthy sponsorships, that the tournament and the football tournament run well, because those are our revenue sources and they allow for us to run all the other championships to create those experiences for those student athletes. And so the marketing and visibility on how we promote the conference and how we use the brand and attach ourselves to unique partnerships are critical to how people value the CIAA brand, but also value
right.
us as a higher education organization. I think oftentimes people get confused about us running the tournament and as if we don't have 14 other
mm-hmm.
championships to run for the conference.
Right.
We're an athletic conference, we're a nonprofit conference, we're small division two. We might look big, we might have been here a long time, but we are operating with limited resources, but also we manage our resources so that we can do big and great things for our membership and our student athletes.
Okay, very nice, very nice. And then, I mean, you kind of talked about the CIAA, but now I'm just curious to kind of know your thoughts and opinions on how does the CIAA fit in with the other collegiate conferences, you know, that are out there from Division I to Division III?
Yeah, you know, CIAA is unique in its own way, and we talk about this with the board, and we talk about it amongst our membership and even inside our staff. You know, we're one of the
mm-hmm.
longest, one of the oldest conferences in the country, so we're going on 106 years old. We have the first two teams that played in a black college football, and that's Johnson C. Smith and Livingstone College. That was 125 years ago, and the conference wasn't
right.
even formulated, but they're members of our conference. We have several schools that have branched off to be Division I, leaving the CIAA to become part of the NEAC conference. Howard is one
mm-hmm.
of our founders. Lincoln University, Shaw, Hampton, Virginia Union and Shaw are our founding institutions. And so there's a lot of history in this conference where some schools that have been members in the past are still have part of that legacy with CIAA. And that makes us unique, I think, in this country
right.
that we have seen, you know, tremendous success from student athletes that came to CIAA member institutions, the Earl Monroes that were here,
mm-hmm.
the Earl Lloyds that played in our conference, you know, from that was at West Virginia State, the Big House
right.
James, you know, that was a historic coach in our conference, and currently George Williams at St. Aug, who is a staple still for Division II track and field, but is respected across all three divisions. And so you have all three divisions celebrating some of the history that came from CIAA, and I think that makes us unique and sets us apart from any other conference in the country.
Right. And then, I mean, you talked about just the history. And so something that came out recently was the Black College Football Hall of Fame nominees. And, of course, this year we're celebrating 125 years of Black College Football. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how significant is it that we are at this 125-year mark of Black College football, you know, and how does that play a role, not just HBCU football, but kind of football as a whole?
You know, it's a special moment. I was at Livingstone College this weekend. We had a TV
mm-hmm.
game, Virginia State and Virginia Union, which was probably one of our best television games this year. But I chose to go to Livingstone and be a part of a commemorative celebration. And they have been using this game as a commemorative classic probably over the last 7 to 8 years, and they have a Hall of Fame that's attached to it. And I think what's special about it this year is just understanding the history of these two teams being the first black college teams in the country to actually have an official game on the books. And
right.
That recognition alone is special. And these student-athletes who got to play in that game, it was special. The logo that we created to celebrate black college football this year, to have the support of undefeated ESPN, to have the support of the Black College Hall of Fame, support and acknowledgement from the NCAA, from the governor of the state. I mean, there's just, I think you just have a sense of pride, you know, about the legacy of this conference and some of the greatest players that played out of the CIAA. And, you know, for the Black College Hall of Fame, we have Bill Hayes from Winston-Salem State and Leo Lincoln, Locomotive Lewis of Lincoln University that are being inducted to one of the most prestigious Hall of Fames in the country. And so to have that be a part of that recognition from the CIAA standpoint is historic, but it's also very special in this 125th year.
And, I mean, you said some really big names. You said the Earl Monroes, right, of the world. We know the Doug Williams and all the great sports names that came from HBCUs. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on the role that HBCU plays in college sports as a whole, because I think right now there's a lost focus. As you said, you know, TV games are huge for HBCUs, and unfortunately we don't get to see them all the time. So what would you say, like, what are your thoughts on, you know, their importance, though, still to have HBCU sports at the forefront of college athletics?
Yeah, you know, it's always an interesting conversation to talk about where black colleges are today and even athletics to where they were back when there was segregation. And, you know, the fact of the matter, integration, great to give us all opportunities, but I think there's some lost value of our students, black students, feeling that historically black colleges and university, even on the college athletic side, is not the opportunity they see themselves at. And I totally disagree. You know, I feel like, you know, me going to Hampton, I'm from Colorado Springs, Colorado, lived in all different places because I was a military child, and didn't know about all the black colleges and universities, but when I heard about Hampton and their women's basketball team, I'm like, wow, I can go to a black school and play with women who look like me and be coached by a coach that looks like me and be taught by professors and a president that looks like me. Like, to me, that's a fascinating opportunity that, you know, it's a missed value add to your social, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. And so I think there's something said about our student-athletes who have selected, whether they wanted to, whether it's legacy, whether they had no else place to go, but I think once they get to our institutions, they recognize the value of the opportunity to be a student-athlete at a historically black college and university, and it's like no other. I can't even explain to those who don't attend an HBCU. All I can tell you is that there's something about the culture and environment that pushes you to excel and succeed beyond you even knowing that you can exceed that well.
Right. I mean, I think you said it. I haven't met one person who did not go to it, who went to an HBCU, who can't just go on and on and on about their experience. Like, my dad pretty much wears something from Grambling State University every week because he's so proud of where he went to school. And you talked about the culture of it. Now, I didn't have the experience to go to an HBCU, and luckily when I went to Maryland and Georgetown, we had strong black student unions and kind of African-American groups, but I think it's just a different feel, and you kind of went to that because you have people that look like you all around you, and I think that just continues to build your confidence for the real world, and so many people from HBCUs, not just in sports, have went on to great careers. So that kind of takes me to my next question. Here in D.C., John Wall, who is, of course, a star player for the Washington Wizards, he made a commitment to continue to support HBCUs since he landed here in Washington, D.C. So I kind of wanted to just hear your thoughts on, do you think more star athletes who are African-American, those who went to PWIs, predominantly white institutions, and those who went to HBCUs, do you think they have an obligation to support HBCUs more and kind of lift them up so they can kind of help get the word out about the great work that HBCUs are doing?
Well, I think as a culture, as a people, that regardless of what institution you went to, you have an obligation to support your community. And so, you know, I commend him for wanting to invest into, you know, historically black colleges and universities. We can't talk about if they're relevant or if they're going to survive or, you know, this school is about to shut down, and we don't even make our own investment in our own institutions. And so if you chose to go to a predominantly white institution, that's your choice. But I do believe that there's still, you know, it's like you shop where you shop. You know, are you going to help, you know, grow the economic development in your community, or are you going to go somewhere else and help the economic development of somewhere that's already established? You know, and if you want the growth of your own community, how do you make that investment? And so, you know, I'm a strong supporter of giving back and identifying those organizations, companies, and institutions that I want to invest in. I went to Temple, and I give back to Temple. I went to Hampton, I give back to Hampton. I worked at Virginia Union, I have given back to Virginia Union. Whether it's a little bit or a lot, those are investments that I feel like are valued investment for the students who go there and the opportunities that I receive to be a part of that community and that institution. So I think we all have an obligation, and I think all of us, whether you're an actor or a professional athlete, a business leader in a community, whether you went there or not, if it's important to you, then you invest in it.
Right. I mean, we see all the time. I know we all get mail, of course, back about giving back to where we went to school. But, I mean, think about it. You spend at least, what, 4 years there, right, for undergrad. I mean, you learn so much in college, not even just in academic-wise or not even just on the field or on the court. You learn, you know, just so much from being around other people, so many ideas from your professors and stuff. So I think you make a great point, you know, just investing in giving back to, you know, where helped you become who you are as a person. And you kind of touched on it, but I kind of want you to go a little bit more deep into it because, as you said, I feel like there's a current attack on HBCUs. And some are questioning the authority that HBCUs have in society. So to play devil's advocate, I would love to hear what you would say to those who feel that maybe that they don't feel HBCUs should be getting as much money from the government or that they have as much importance. What would you say to those people?
Well, that question has been asked, and somebody has even asked me, why would I send my child to an HBCU, or how do I convince them? And my question in return was, well, why wouldn't you? And you know, and what is it factually that would not push you or at least see that an HBCU is an opportunity for your student athlete or your student? You know, we talk about in our conference, as I speak, you know, across the country and regionally and locally, that I don't want CIAA schools to be your last option and your choice. Why can't it be one of your options or your first option before you decide to go somewhere else? I mean, if you're in Richmond, Virginia, you have a slate of schools that you can attend. But why does, you know, Virginia Union or Virginia State or Norfolk State or Hampton have to be considered on your last list of opportunities? And for the life of me, I'm not sure the why of that, because maybe historically we have seen that some of these schools or maybe one of these schools don't have the resources that you think they should. But not all black schools or black colleges are struggling. We have some amazing institutions that are doing quite well and that are graduating students at a higher rate than a lot of institutions. I mean, black students going to our institute, they're graduating, and they're becoming great professionals, and they're becoming leaders in the community, i.e. myself. I went to Hampton University, and I'm doing just fine. I mean, so I think we have to turn the story around and ask, when somebody asks that question, you need to share with me, why do you not see it as a valued opportunity for your child? And why do you feel like sending them to a PWI is a better experience? And, Kelsey, you probably will hear some people will say, well, if I send them to a black college, they're not dealing with the real world. Oh, no, you deal with the real world going to a black college. Matter of fact, that world is going to prepare you even better to deal with the real world. And we laugh and joke about it all the time. But there's nothing like going to the administrative building back in the day and fighting your way to pay your bill and being strategic about it. I mean, there's some strategy about going to an HBCU that you will never get anywhere else. So, you know, we all have our choices of where you want to go, but, you know, as long as I'm here and as long as my daughter, I'm raising her, she'll be going to a black college.
I love it. I love it. I love that you instill that in it. I think that's why it's so crucial, too. Those parents who have went to an HBCU, you know, not only share the word with your kids, but others, because I think that's really what it is. you know, sometimes you see stuff on social media or in public, like what it's like to go to an HBCU school. But like you said, the experience is unparalleled. So I hope students continue, as you say, not to have that as their last choice, but one of their top choices when they're looking at colleges, because there's so many great schools. And like you said, you can live in one state and there could be a couple of them right around you. So hopefully, you know, students will go visit them, talk to students who went there, and kind of see what they could get there as compared to a PWI. Now, I want to touch back on the point that you made. You were a student-athlete. So I want to touch on, though, in your conference, what does it mean to be a student-athlete in the CIAA? And kind of touch on, I mean, what do you want students to be able, student-athletes, you know, being able to leave the conference with once they get their degree?
I want our student athletes to know that they played in the CIAA. You know, what's interesting to me as a former student athlete, I didn't know I was affiliated with a conference until you get into conference championships, right?
Mm.
So like, wow, we won the CIAA championship. And so I want them to remember the experience that they have at all of our championships. I want them to feel like if they never went to a national championship in the NCAA, that they at least got to touch and feel what it possibly could be just in the CIAA, even though it's a different experience. But, you know, we try to create those moments for our students in leadership development programs through our Student Athlete Advisory Committee. We allow them to engage, give their recommendations to our board. I mean, it's an engagement opportunity. But they feel like they are a part of this conference, that when decisions are made, that they feel like their voice has been heard and it's been considered. It's not all things, but some things, I think, they need to feel like they have a part of it and that this conference is them. Without student-athletes, it is no CIAA conference. Without 12-member institutions, there is no CIAA conference. So I hope that when they leave, they know that they are loved, that they are supported, that it's our job to help them value the experience, remember the experience, but also give back to the experience, whether that's being a ticket holder at the tournament, the football championship, or any of the other championships, but also understand their role in giving back to their own institutions because their experience was that great.
Right, right. And you said it. I mean, that's at the end of the day, you want them to leave being good people, but then as you said, give back to that experience, you can help the next person who's in that same situation. I think that's so crucial. And then that leads me to my next question. What are some of the biggest challenges as a whole that the CIAA has faced?
Gosh, we've faced a lot of challenges since I've been here, but, you know, every challenge that we have gone through has created greater opportunities for us. You know, years ago, we had the incident of having to cancel our football championship, but that opened up the door for greater communication amongst our board. It helped us develop new bylaws to manage ourselves in the way that we need to as a business. You know, the challenges of the unknowns. You know, you can't control state laws. The HB2 of last year, you know, had us in a predicament of what does the future look like now and what does it look like later for the conference, and having to make huge decisions regarding the future of the conference because of something that we don't have any control of. But what I have learned in that, you know, we control our message and what we want to say, not the media, not people that don't know. As Coach Williams would say at St. Aug, the coach there, if you're not in the huddle, you don't know the play. And so a lot of our decisions may not be popular to people, but they have to understand that the conversation and the decisions that we have are not in a silo, and that they're very broad with our sponsors, they're broad with our community leaders, they're broad with our board and our membership and our student athletes. And so when we make decisions, we make them for the best interest of the overall conference, not for one school or two schools, but for the total conference. And so, you know, the challenge is always just trying to manage the message and the brand and how people want to use our brand for their own benefit. The challenge is, you know, letting people know that, you know, we're an event organization. This is what we do. I have some of the best administrators, and we can throw a party and we can throw a championship and meeting. And so I think, I think people think that we have all these different needs, and the ones that we need, we take care of. But on the most part, we manage ourselves. We're a small organization. So, you know, the challenges will never go away. But that's every conference. But I think we always seek the new opportunities to build on those. and be positive about it, because there's so much great leverage that we have as a brand, but as a conference. And, you know, we try not to lose sight of our focus, and that's tradition, leadership, and community. And anything that doesn't fall within that in the mission, then we don't do it.
Right. I mean, that's well said. And that takes me to my next question. So are there any member schools or sports that deserve special recognition for their work in the advancement of athletics as a whole?
You know, I think all of our schools do extremely well, you know, even through hard times. You know, Elizabeth City was struggling a few years ago, you know, whether they would stay open or close. And I think with the leadership of Dr. Conway, he has brought on a new fresh air for the school and in life. And so I commend him for, one, taking that position and challenging himself to challenge, you know, the institution and the community. The other thing is, you know, Virginia State has done very well in academics. You know, we have some schools with our academic success rate and federal graduation rates, and Virginia State has always led, you know, in graduating their athletes. And that is something, you know, that's not always easy across the country. And I think their focus on graduating students and having that as a priority has been critical. So we love to tell that story and share it with them. That's something that they hold tight on. And so I think that that's great. Winston-Salem, I love what their president is doing, you know, surrounding, driving enrollment to their institution, engaging their students, the social media platforms that they have. St. Aug has been doing a lot of social media platform too. I love when I see our schools engaging outside of their institution and really driving alumni to come back through their platforms. And Fayetteville State is celebrating 150 years this year, and we've had three schools that have done Virginia Union, Bowie State, have all celebrated 150 years, and I believe Shaw University celebrated last year. And so when you make those types of, you've been able to survive 150 years despite what people say, you know, you have to celebrate those moments. And I'm really proud that we have some of the most amazing institutions in our conference.
Right, and you talked about celebrating moments, and I kind of want to transition to the fun part of the interview. I'm curious to hear from you. What are some of your favorite memories from CIAA sports, past and present?
Wow, I guess some of my past is, you know, my opportunity to win a championship in volleyball, to win a national championship in basketball, and to see some of the players that I played with and against, that we are still somehow connected in some way. So whether it's, you know, their children, or whether, you know, we run into each other at the tournament. I mean, there's something about the family of CIAA, Mr. CIAA, who comes every year to the tournament, and he changes his outfits. Like, in my mind, for life, like, I will always remember him as a student athlete, as a commissioner, as a fan. And to me, there's something about this conference that, you know, when you think about the past, you just laugh and celebrate with others. When you think about the present, I think about how far we have come since I've been here, but even prior to, and the people who have set the foundation for me to have this opportunity. And when you think about the future, I look at our student athletes and how proud I am that they are such great leaders. And we're meeting with our student athletes this weekend, and we're bringing two or four athletes from every campus to talk about mental health and career development and leadership development. And when we can expose them to our sponsors and prepare them for job opportunities and internships, like, that's what it's really about. And CIAA is about family. And so I'm really thankful that I have been blessed to have the opportunity to lead this conference, but even more so to be emotionally attached to it as anybody else who loves the CIAA.
Right. I mean, you're making me love it. Now I wish I would have went to a CIAA school this season. It's okay. I can still go back and get another degree. So
Go ahead, girl. It's good. It's awesome. It's amazing.
But that just takes me. I mean, you said all these great things about the CIAA. So before I end and get kind of to the fun part, I want to know from you, what do you think people should know about the CIAA that they probably don't know, if anything?
What should people know about the CIAA? Well, I think...
Like a lasting thought. for them to have kind of hold on to.
Yeah, I think people should recognize that, you know, CIAA, we're a small Division II nonprofit conference. We have history and legacy that stems back 106 years old. We have 12 amazing member institutions that if you just think about CIAA tournament only when you hear or see the brand, then you miss out on the opportunity to learning more about who we are as an organization, as leaders in our communities, and the impact and the footprint that we have made in this eastern corridor, north, southern, eastern corridor of the country has been significant. And so I would just tell people, you know, to follow us, love on us, and be a part of it. And the thing is, you know, I think we can focus so much on the negatives of what we haven't done. And I just hope as a people and a culture that we can focus on the great things that we are doing, even through social media, you know, the whole picking and going back and forth. Like, we need great energy. And I think CIAA, when we put out stuff, we put out energy. That's what we want people to be a part of, and we don't deal with negativity. So I block, mute, and delete folks now because I just feel like there's just no time for that in this state of time, and we're supposed to be great examples to our student-athletes. And so that's what CIAA is about. We're about family, we're about homecoming, and we're about creating great opportunities and experiences for over 3,500 student-athletes.
Wonderfully said. And I mean, and you talked about great student athletes. So, of course, I want to get to the main reason for this show. I want to talk about the CIAA championship game that will take place later today between Virginia State University Trojans and the Fayetteville State University Broncos. Now, before I give all the game information, I want to hear from you, Jack. I mean, what can fans kind of expect? I mean, this was both teams getting here, I think, was huge. But what can fans expect, in your opinion, to see during this championship game?
Wow, I think they're going to see a lot of energy. I think we're going to see a great following from both institutions. I think Virginia State is bringing the whole Petersburg, Ettrick area. So that would be fun to see. I think you'll see the rivalry between two presidents who have great respect for one another. One is my chair, the other is the vice chair, so how in the world could both of them be?
I love it.
I think you'll see an atmosphere where these student athletes will be supported. They will be encouraged and empowered to play their best game. And, you know, who knows the best team? Virginia State is coming in undefeated. Fayetteville State has had a great season. It was this last game was going to determine whether they got in the championship.
Right.
And that's been that way the last couple of years, and they're in. And so what a great opportunity for these student-athletes, these seniors. Like, I am most excited and happy for these seniors who get to play in a championship game before they graduate. And I'm hoping that their dreams will come true, whatever the outcome is, whether a record is broke, you know, whether the game is almost tied and it comes down to a last play, it'll be televised. I just think that it's just going to be great. That's what we do. Like, CIAA, we run championships. And so for my team and myself, we can't be any more excited about seeing these student-athletes be on a platform where all eyes will be on them on that day at 4 o'clock.
It's amazing. So as you said, 4 o'clock, it's Saturday, November 11th at Salem Football Stadium in Salem, Virginia, 1008 Texas Street. For tickets, you can still get tickets. Call 910-672-1724 or 910-672-2108. And that does it for this edition of Listen In with K&N. Thanks so much, Jackie, for joining me. And to everyone listening, I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week when a new show drops online at foxsports1340am.com and kelseynicolenelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Bye.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.